Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Many Christians find it dismaying. I'm talking about new Christians. There is the honeymoon period after they've been brought to faith. The good news is so good, and they have that sense of forgiveness and mercy, and they feel like they've been born again. Well, they have, of course, by faith in Jesus Christ. And then real life sets in, and they realize that the kind of frictionless feeling of moving ahead as a Christian that they may have experienced in the first months or years of being a Christian starts to go away. The friction sets in, and they begin to wonder, wow, some days I'm no better than I was before I became a Christian. They may even notice sins that they'd never even thought of before they became a Christian, creeping up in their lives, not only temptations, but actually temptations into which they fall. They find themselves struggling. They think it's a bad thing, when in fact, if you read the Bible carefully, it isn't. That struggle is a good thing. They are discovering that they are simultaneously saint and sinner. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon, November the 23rd. We're going to be talking about being simultaneously a saint and a sinner with Pastor Eric Rotman, and you can join us as well. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Or you can visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Eric Rotman is a regular guest. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Versailles, Missouri, staff writer for Good News Magazine. The theme of the latest issue of Good News is Old Adam versus New Man, and he joins us here in the studio. Pastor Rotman, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Todd. It's always good to be here.
You had a time in your youth when you were, in effect, at least in your theology and your practice, probably Pentecostal, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir, I did.
During that time, what were you taught about being a saint and a sinner, old man and new man, and what did it do to you?
Well, in my Pentecostal days, when I was very influenced by the preaching of that denomination, regularly worshiping in a Pentecostal church, I was taught about how holiness should increasingly take over your life. And if you have things that you continually fall into by way of sin or temptation, these are things that you have to overcome and throw out of your life. And that's, you know, those are at a certain level good messages. We certainly don't want to tell people that they should just be free to do whatever they want after hearing the gospel. But the effect it had on me, and I'm guessing that I'm not the only one that experienced this, I would commit myself. I would promise myself, that's it. I'm not going there again. I'm not going to fall into that temptation again. And inevitably, I would. And then I would have a crisis of faith. I remember even looking in the mirror and grabbing fistfuls of hair and wanting to pull them right out in true anguish. Why do I love God so little that I would do this again? Why am I unable to control these things that I have committed myself to control? Why do I constantly do what I do not want to do?
You had, in essence, an experience with the struggle, but you thought the struggle was supposed to get easier?
I thought the struggle was something that I was supposed to eventually escape. The struggle is something that, as you said, the new Christian may have as he's becoming deeper and deeper in the faith. But the deeper I went, the more fervently I wanted to believe, the more carefully I listened to the preaching, the struggle against sin never went away.
Then what from God's word brought into focus both that struggle against sin and its rightful place in the life of the Christian? Where in Scripture can you say it? The light bulb came on for you about what was going on in you and what it really meant?
The light bulb came on for me in Romans. When I read in Romans 7, for example, Paul talking about the struggle that he has with sin and the good that I want to do, I don't do it, and the evil that I don't want to do, that's the very thing that I do. That was a section of Scripture that was deeply resonant for me. The problem was when I went to the people whose church I was attending, I was being told things like, that's Paul in the old days. That's Paul remembering how things used to be. That's Paul
when he was an unbeliever.
That's right. Or in the early days of his conversion, he had grown out of those things. It wasn't until I returned to the Lutheran church and I began my seminary studies, and some of my seminary classmates will probably admit to you that they remember hearing some very Pentecostal-sounding things from me even in my seminary days. It wasn't until that my seminary instruction began that I began to close my mouth long enough to listen to the Scriptures and hear that Paul isn't talking about a struggle he had a long time ago. But this is Paul the Apostle, Paul the noteworthy preacher of the church, Paul the one whom all the Christians at that time knew. That's the Paul that had this struggle of old man and new man that the Good News issue is titled.
So let's talk about where the old man is who we are according to our nature inherited from Adam, the old sinful nature. Are all unbelievers possessed only of the old man? I'm talking about unbelievers here, not to kind of put away this interpretation of Paul that it must have been Paul during his unbelieving days, remembering his unbelieving days. Is there any new man for the unbeliever?
Well, the new man, as Paul says himself in Corinthians, is created in Christ Jesus. It's the new creature that comes as a result of hearing the word, as a result of Christ's miracle of baptism. So for the unbeliever, the one who does not yet have the new creation by the power of Christ's word, there's not so much of a struggle. Surely unbelievers will struggle with temptation, want to do right but do wrong. But that's not what this issue of good news is addressing. This good news issue is addressing what specifically Paul is talking about, what specifically Jesus talks about when he talks about the flesh and the spirit. It's this new creation that comes into you and becomes part of you as a result of the hearing of God's word that struggles now with the old sinful, fallen nature that remains.
So this goes far beyond just, say, the average Joe out there does not believe in Christ, not a Christian, kind of having his conscience pricked occasionally, or thinking, you know, I really need to do better at work, I'm kind of a slob, or something like that. It goes far beyond just simply people hoping to do better or trying to be a good person.
Absolutely. So Paul in Romans says of that Joe unbeliever that his thoughts are first defending him, first accusing him as the consequence of the law that's written into the heart. But then the real struggle that Paul is talking about is the uniquely Christian struggle, the good that I want to do because I love Jesus, as opposed to the evil I find myself doing.
Where does the new man come from then? If it's not natural to us, how is the new man created in the Christian?
Jesus says you must be born again. A man is born not by re-entering his mother's womb, but he is born of water and the Spirit. He is born of the miracle of baptism. He's born of the miracle of the preaching of God's Word. But then these things, God's Word, baptism, and add to this now Holy Communion, these things don't just bring around the birth. These things sustain the new creature, the new creation, the new man that is miraculously created by God.
One other question before we take a break. And this kind of goes to where we began. Many will say, of course, Pastor Rotman, I am at the same time a sinner and a saint. But maybe at the beginning of the Christian life, I am, let's just say for the sake of argument, 70% sinner, 30% saint. The longer I'm a Christian, I need that proportion is going to change. And sooner or later, I might not get to be 100% saint and no sinner, but I might be able to whittle that sinner part down to 5% if I really try from a Christian long enough. Is that what we're talking about here, kind of changing the proportion over the course of a Christian's life?
No, we're not. We're talking about the old Adam who is completely corrupted, hostile to God, as Paul says in Romans 8, wanting to flee everything merciful and righteous and good. We're talking about that old Adam remaining and adhering in our bodies and in our minds until the day we die. We're not talking about the gradual disappearance of him. We're talking about the struggle in which he engages with the new creation whom God gives to us.
So this is 100% sinner, 100% saint.
Fully sinner, fully saint, yes.
When we come back, we'll continue our conversation on Simultaneously Saint and Sinner. It's Tuesday afternoon, November the 23rd. Pastor Eric Rotman is our guest. If you struggle, as all Christians do, and you think, there's got to be something wrong with me, you're in good company. St. Paul said exactly the same thing. In fact, he puts it in starker terms. He says, wretched man that I am. We'll be right back.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Eric Rotman is here in the studio on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 23rd. We're talking about being simultaneously saint and sinner. Before the break, you said 100% both, which we got to deal with this question. The math doesn't add up. Someone would say, what you're talking about here is illogical. You can't be 100% of two completely and diametrically opposite and mutually exclusive things, which these two things are.
Reasonably speaking, you're absolutely correct. The scriptures teach this 100% sinfulness, this 100% saintliness, so that 100% plus 100% equals 100%. By way of an analogy, think of what the scriptures teach about our Lord Jesus Christ. 100% human, like us in every way except without sin, as it says in the book of Hebrews, and yet also 100% divine. It defies reason and logic that Jesus would be wholly God, completely God, and completely human together in one body, one person. And that's very much what he is according to the scriptures. And in the same way, we are 100% sinful. Everything that we have inherited from Adam through our parents is now in us and corrupt and 100% holy on account of the new creature, the new creation, the gift of holiness that God has given to us through his word.
Let's go to the phones and see what Andy has to say. He's listening in Kirkwood, Missouri. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Pastor. You know, it's a wonderful thing to recognize that we're sinners. It's a wonderful thing to recognize that we should be doing better than we're doing. But I think that to come up with the conclusion that I can do better, I must do better, I will do better, may be a horrible temptation of the devil, and that continuing in that path of thinking may be actually a horrible sin.
Andy, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Kirkwood. Okay, what are your thoughts there?
I think that's a very insightful thing the caller has said. One of the things that I repeatedly see in my pastoral practice, I'm going to use a medical analogy with you here. Someone will contract some kind of illness they're feeling in their bodies, but they don't know what it is, so they go to get it diagnosed. Almost worse than the illness is the not knowing what it is. And all while they're not knowing what this illness is, while they're waiting for the diagnosis, they're trying everything they can to make their pain go away, to ease themselves in some way, and nothing works, and it becomes a futile effort. It adds to the frustration. It adds to the fear. It adds to the sense of foreboding. What a gift, and I know that sounds strange, but what a gift it is for a person who is seriously ill to finally know what the disease is. Because even though you still have this disease, you also know what needs to happen in order to make this disease go away. You're not going to get rid of your cancer by trying harder. You're not going to get rid of your cancer by eating a better diet or by exercising. You're going to go get the cancer medicine, be it the surgery or the chemotherapy. So, and this is building upon what the caller has said there, the ongoing commitment to continue to try harder can become a way of derailing us from focusing on where the true health, the true cure, the true medicine lies for our old sinful nature, which is God's word and God's word alone.
Now, you mentioned this before, and I think this will since you brought up the issue of remedy, if the new man, as you said, is born in us by water and the word, you referenced John chapter 3, where Jesus talks about this new birth. Then I think that helps us kind of approach the question of the remedy. But first, let's talk about the role of baptism. This is often missed by many people who read the scripture, how prominent baptism is in not just giving birth to the new man, but setting us on this path of lifelong struggle until baptism is fulfilled in the resurrection. Talk about that.
Well, one of the things we want to do with this current issue of Good News is to point to relevant passages of the scriptures that will help people know where the cure lies. And yes, baptism is a major component of the cure. Now, the question is, what use or what benefit can you gain out of God's miracle and gift of baptism? Is it just something that happens to you once and then you have to look for other means as well? And the answer is no. I like very much what Jesus says to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. This is the chapter after he tells Nicodemus that you must be born of water and the Spirit. Jesus tells the woman at the well that you are going to be given water that well up to in springs of eternal life. There is this sort of artesian flow, if you will. Maybe the listeners know what an artesian well is. You know, it's a well that just naturally produces water without any pump or external means.
It just keeps gushing up.
And that would be a good way for us to think about the benefit that baptism gives, not just a one-time event, but a continual washing away of sin, a continual combat of the old Adam. Couple this with the other gifts God gives, his preached and proclaimed word, his gift of Holy Communion, and you have a several aspect remedy, if you will, or treatment to this deep disease that we all possess.
This is counterintuitive. And once someone has kind of grasped the notion of 100% saint and 100% sinner at the same time, the temptation is, and you addressed this before, is to say, oh, then the remedy is, as you were talking about it before, try harder. What's counterintuitive here is that this is not about trying harder. This is about things like admitting that you fail, admitting that you, as try as you might, you cannot do better. Talk about that.
Well, one of the things that a lot of the visitors to my congregation protest to me when I come to their homes after they visited and I ask them, how did you feel about our worship service? One of the things they protest is, in the beginning we say, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities. Sometimes that seems just a little bit stuffy to folks, or a little bit overstated, or they don't really feel comfortable stating such things. But the cure to sin is not found in trying harder. And you're right, it is counterintuitive. It goes against our sense of reason. The cure to sin is the gift that God gives and brings to us. So the first part of our worship service essentially is setting aside all of our best efforts to try harder, because for all that we've tried, we've still have failed miserably. We're confessing this to God by way of preparing ourselves for the true medication.
Does this mean then, a lot of people view Christian worship as, I go to get my batteries charged so I can go do exactly that, go back out in the world and try harder. And then I get myself worn down. I got to go back and kind of get the pep talk from the pastor, from the pumping music, so that I can go back out and try harder. It sounds like you're saying that Sunday morning is not that in any sense whatsoever. What is then Sunday morning about for the Christian struggling as both saint and sinner?
Luther had a great way of describing what Sunday morning is, and he used the Good Samaritan in a beautiful way. The listeners may know about the story of the Good Samaritan. He found a man beaten alongside the road. He puts him on his own donkey after treating the man's wounds, and he carries him off to the inn. And then he provides the innkeeper with coin needed to help and heal this man during his long recovery. And Luther uses this story to say that you and all people are that beaten man. You may not feel like you are worn down in life, though many people surely do. You may not feel horribly tempted by many things, though many people surely are. You may not feel like you are at the end of the rope. And if you don't, come to my congregation. I'll introduce you to some that do. And Jesus has come to you, that beaten man. And in baptism, he is already treating and caring for your wounds, just as that Samaritan has cared for that man alongside the road. And then the worship of the church, the local congregation, is now like that inn. And the coins are like the word and the sacrament of Holy Communion, the ongoing application of baptism to all the new people who come. These are the ongoing care of the beaten, sin-wearied people we are.
We're talking about simultaneously saint and sinner, Pastor Eric Rotman. is our guest. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Versailles, Missouri, staff writer for Good News Magazine. And the theme of the latest issue of Good News is Old Man versus New Man. You can receive a complimentary copy of Good News Magazine by calling them toll-free. The number, 1-800-778-1132, 800-778-1132. The latest issue is on the theme of Old Man versus New Man. 1-800-778-1132, Good News Magazine. Now, tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Dr. Ron Feuerhahn of Concordia Seminary about pietism, that subjective, individualistic, experiential, even mystical Christianity. Thursday on the program, that would be Thanksgiving Day, we're going to be studying the hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Pastor Will Wheaton will be our guest. Then Friday on Issues Etc., Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. We're going to study the Advent hymn, Since Advent Begins on Sunday, the hymn, Lo, He Comes, with clouds descending. When we come back, 25 more minutes with Pastor Eric Rotman talking about being simultaneously saint and sinner. We'll continue to talk about this struggle, and we'll talk about ultimately the day when we are able to lay the old man aside for good. Stay tuned.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Hey, St. Louis listeners, our local affiliate, AM 1320 Bot Radio Network, lowers its signal power at 445 until the end of the year, but you can still listen to Issues Etc. full power at issuesetc.org. Old theology, new technology, issuesetc.org. Listen to what you want, when you want, Issues Etc.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are Americans really pro-life?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Gallup's annual Values and Beliefs Survey for 2010 reveals Americans are generally pro-life. 50% of respondents said abortion is morally wrong, while only 38% said it was morally acceptable. The country divides, however, on the issue of doctor-assisted suicide, with 46% approving of it and 46% disapproving. Likewise, 59% said it was morally acceptable to use stem cells for medical research, though the question did not indicate that human embryos were killed to facilitate such research. The poll results are encouraging, but clearly there is more work to be done.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Eric Rotman is our guest here in the studio. We're talking about being simultaneously saint and sinner, coming to you live this Tuesday, November the 23rd. One of the famous passages that discusses baptism, explicitly discusses baptism, in Romans chapter 6, right before this I'm struggling and I can't get up kind of monologue on the part of St. Paul, where Paul talks about walking in newness of life. And I must admit, Pastor Rotman, that for most of my life, hearing that phrase, walk in newness of life, was just another plank of guilt laid on top of me, because it sounds like new life, not sinning anymore. Is that what Paul means when he talks about walking in newness of life?
I think Paul's point there goes a little deeper than that. And let me be frank, too. I've always taken it that way as well, that we have got to cut sin out of our lives. Everybody's experience, every listener to this show right now has experienced that sin will not go away. Why do we try to curb our behavior? Why do we try to not sin? It's really for the sake of love for neighbor now, rather than establishing a sense of personal holiness for ourselves. But now this walk in the newness of life phrase that Paul has here. Let me give you the story of a good friend of ours at Good News. His name is Mark Wessling, pastor in down in Florida, diagnosed with cancer. He had to have all of his bone marrow killed and removed because it was producing bad blood cells, cancerous blood cells. And when that marrow was removed, he was in a very sensitive, very dangerous place until he was given new bone marrow, a transplant of marrow by his close relative, his sister. This new marrow took root and grew, began producing good blood cells. Pastor Wessling could walk out of the very carefully sanitized and sterilized hospital now, confident that this new gift that had been placed inside of him would defend him from disease and other things that would attack his body. Pastor Wessling was walking in the newness of life. And how much the same way, when we have been given this good gift of the new creation by our Lord Jesus. And that's exactly what this phrase, walk in the newness of life, it talks about baptism in that very passage. When we have been baptized, given the new bone marrow, if you will, we can walk without fear. We can walk knowing that even though we struggle with sin, we shall not be overcome and destroyed by it. Even though we are horribly tempted in every way, and some people, ways they cannot imagine ever enduring, Jesus will not allow us to be destroyed. We can walk confidently, knowing that he has risen from the dead.
You said, and we don't want to be heard as saying that Christians will because of Christ's mercy, run headlong into sin or do not care whether they sin. In fact, part of this struggle is one is acutely aware of one's sin and deeply troubled by that sin. But we are terminal, and the old man has to be killed. Someone says, why can't I just kill him all at once? I mean, why not just one good death blow, and then he never troubles me again?
You know, that's a question that I frequently encounter in my pastoral care. People want to know why the struggle. If Jesus really wants us to be his people, why doesn't he just make us all perfect right now? And my answer inevitably comes back to, if you didn't have the struggle right now, you would quickly lose your need for Jesus. If you had strength in yourself, you would not want strength from God. One of the great gifts that God gives to us by allowing us still to struggle with this old Adam, by allowing the old man never to diminish, never to go away, one of the great gifts he gives us through this struggle is that we constantly rely on our big brother Jesus, who has done all things perfectly for us, who will save us, defend us, deliver us, and keep us from all harm.
You said a few minutes ago, I want you to expand on it, that the Christian seeks to avoid sin now, although it can never be avoided completely. But he seeks to avoid sin for the sake of his neighbor, not in order to, as you said, establish kind of a new standard of personal holiness before God. Explain that.
Well, we have the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments do more than condemn our sin. Yes, they do that with every hearing. The Ten Commandments condemn our sin because we are, to the core, sinful. Yet the commandments do something else as well, simultaneously. The commandments teach us how to love. Boil all Ten Commandments down to one word, you get the word love. So that the keeping of these commandments, the struggle not to break them, this is how we love our neighbor. This is how we show love for God. So they become, in the words of the way many Lutherans teach their children, a guide to us.
And for, it sounds as though you're saying we are so covered by the mercy and grace of God that the good that we do as Christians, we don't need to hang on to it. We're free to give it away.
That's a good way to put it. We don't need to cling to our goodness. We can give it away.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about other confessions of faith that tend to have remarkably similar answers to this problem. They will acknowledge that a man, Christians struggle against the old Adam. They will acknowledge that there's an old man and a new man, but they offer remedies. Let's talk a little bit about Roman Catholicism. I have a rather ancient and complex system for dealing with this. What is it, and why is it the wrong remedy for perhaps the right diagnosis?
Well, the ancient system in Rome is the system of penance, where Christ certainly has forgiven you all your sins now, but there are satisfactions that you have to make in order to remain in good standing. Rome referred to the confession and absolution, not confession and absolution, but the sacrament of confession, excuse me, as the second plank after baptism. And anybody who's familiar with the history of Rome will know that their practice of confession included satisfactions, things that must be done. So there is this sort of mixing of human effort into the practice of the Christian life. You'll see that in a lot of other denominations as well. We began with my experiences running around in Pentecostal circles. You'll find a lot of Reformed theologians will talk about the role of reason, the role of commitment. These are all part and parcel to the same problem, I believe. And I'm not trying to throw stones at anybody else's confession of faith here. I want to simply point out from the scriptures that the problem of sin is bigger than any of us can handle or deal with, even in a small way. Jesus and Jesus alone, through his word, is the medicine, the remedy, the cure, the antidote for sin. Jesus only. Not Jesus and our reason, not Jesus and our effort, not Jesus and our commitment, Jesus only.
Is there really much difference? I mean, externally, the two look very different, but your struggle in Pentecostalism to kind of, through your own efforts, improve. And a devout Roman Catholic going to the priest and the priest saying, well, here is your penance. Go do this, and then next time you have something to confess, come back and see me, and we'll start all over again. Is there really that much difference between those two, although they externally appear to be quite different?
In their externals, they are, yes, but in their internals, it still comes down to what you do, how you contribute. I'm going to add a third comparison in there. It's also not going to be a whole lot different from a person attempting to treat his cancer by taking antacids. The medicine, because it's not the medicine designed to cure the problem, the medicine will not help, which is why I love this caller we had earlier.
Does it actually, to come back to that caller's insight, does it actually make it worse? I mean, that is, speak from your own experience. When you experienced that struggle and you thought, okay, last week I resolved not to do this again, and there I just went and did it again. The only answer must be to resolve again and more fervently not to do it again. Did it – you say it not only it didn't help, but it did actually hurt.
Actually –
About a minute here.
In both ways it hurt. First of all, when I was in those good moments of not doing the things that I had committed no longer to do – Well, what does guy say? I'm doing pretty well. And so the focus, even before I fall, is on me. And then after I fall, the despair of not only have I done this thing, but I have broken my word and promise and everything else, it creates a snowball type effect of despair.
When we come back, we have 10 more minutes with Pastor Eric Rotman this Tuesday afternoon, November the 23rd, talking about simultaneously saint and sinner. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee, and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Supernaturally saved. Oh, well, I'm a natural born sinner. Supernaturally saved.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. A special thanks to Pastor Mark Braden, Zion Lutheran Church in Detroit, Michigan. They're part of the Issues Etc. 300. This is a system of support that we have here at Issues Etc. among congregations that are pledging to support Issues Etc. with $1,000 or more in their annual budget, their mission budget, their advertising budget. They become part of the Issues Etc. 300 and therefore part of the backbone of Issues Etc.'s support. Your congregation can become part of the Issues Etc. 300. That's all it takes, is just annual support for the program. Find out more by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Click support, and you'll find there a one-page flyer that explains everything you and your congregation need to know about joining the Issues Etc. 300. Okay, I do want to talk about some of the images that are in this book, because the great thing, or in the magazine, because the great thing about Good News Magazine is you are very image intensive. That's probably something that's just absolutely necessary in this visual age we live in. But there is one that reoccurs again and again, and we'll just have to bear description here. But it's a picture of the font, the baptismal font, kind of a traditional font. And coming up out of this font is, or planted in this font, so to speak, is in fact the cross, the crucified Christ. The roots are down in the water. Then grafted onto the top of the cross is this branch that is growing. Atop that branch, a baby being baptized. What does this say about this rebirth, new man, old man?
Well, this is a rendering that we had done for the magazine for this topic that illustrates the concept that St. Paul talks about and Jesus too, about being grafted into the vine. When you are baptized, it's more than just getting water poured on your head. You are grafted. I don't know if all of our listeners know what grafting is, but the grafting is a horticultural practice where you would take a root and a root of one tree and then stick a slip of another tree into that root and bind it up so that the life-giving effect of the root flows up into the twig that's been stuck into the root and gives the twig life. Grafting, among the many images of baptism in the New Testament, grafting is one of the most essential for understanding this ongoing, lifelong effect that baptism has for you. Baptism grafts you into Christ's crucifixion so that all of the perfection of Christ, all of his holiness, continually flows into you and becomes yours.
I want to deal with something. It's an insight of a regular guest here on the program, Dr. Stephen Heim. We often speak with him about this very subject, simultaneously saint and sinner. And I found this insight abundantly helpful, where he says, look, if you think about the old man and the new man in isolation from one another for just a moment, even though in our practical life, I'm him, both. He says the old man cannot be reformed. He can't be taught to do better. The only way to deal with the old man is to kill him through repentance and daily contrition. And the new man needs no reform. He lives perfectly before God all the time. Now, the struggle we're talking about is that I'm both at the same time. But I want you to deal with that first aspect of it, that the old man cannot be reformed, that he must be killed.
And this is very much the way Luther wrote the Small Catechism, that baptism indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die. There is no fix to that guy. There's no improvement. There is no reasoning with him. There is no getting him to let go of his hostility. There is only an execution. And that is exactly what baptism does for you in its ongoing effects. Many Lutheran parents will teach their children when they rise in the morning to make the sign of the cross, which is not a Roman Catholic sign. It's a sign of baptism. It's a sign of what God did for you in that one act. And in the making of the sign of the cross, in saying the creed and the Lord's Prayer, in the reading of the scriptures, allow the power of God's word to crucify that old man, to kill him, to put him to death, so that the new man that is created may arise and live before God in righteousness and purity forever, as Luther says.
Is this why we've talked so often in this hour about struggle, but is this why I resist confessing my sins? I know that it's a sin I ought to confess, but I resist it. Is that the old man saying, God, you don't need that?
Well, I think there's partly the old man, yes, that is saying you don't need to confess. But the other thing your old man is saying is it'd be better for you just to hide and pretend it never happened. The old Adam, as in Adam and Eve, hearing the voice of God in the garden and running and hiding because they were afraid. A lot of people struggle with confessing their sins because of the exposure that it gives to them, because of the feeling of weakness and vulnerability it creates. But that weakness, Paul capitalizes on that when he says, when I am weak, then I am strong, because it is Christ who is living in him.
I like it's got to be more than an analogy, Pastor Rotman, because you're painting a picture of, and all of us have this experience of not wanting to be caught, wanting to hide what we have done. And it is so primal, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, with Adam hearing the voice of God walking in the cool of the day and his impulses to go and hide himself.
And when I talk about this topic, I wanted to mention this at the very beginning of the interview. I'm not talking about this as an ivory tower theologian. I'm not talking about this as a writer for Good News. I'm talking about this as a person who struggles deeply with sin. And I won't list those sins out for you, but I will tell you there are things of which I am guilty that I'm fairly sure I would rather die than have people know about. And that's because of my old Adam. And that's because of the flesh that cannot be beaten down, that keeps on rising up. And that is what Jesus must take on for me, because I cannot.
Well, then finally, let's talk about the day that is promised, that is coming for us. when the old Adam will finally be put to death, and in Scripture's parlance, literally left in the grave when we are raised from the dead. Talk about that.
And we talk about that sort of thing this time of year in particular as we get to the end of the church year and in the beginning of the new one, looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ on the last day. We look forward to the resurrection of all flesh because of those whom we've had to bury. But we also look forward to the coming of all flesh because when that day comes, we can lift up our heads as our redemption is drawing near, Jesus says, our escape from this primal struggle that we have with our own selves will be at last put to rest. The way I recently put it in a sermon to my people is, Jesus died on the cross, and everything you now struggle with already has died with him. Jesus has risen from the dead. You will too. The things with which you struggle in your life right here and right now, these things will not rise.
Pastor Eric Rotman is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Versailles, Missouri. He's staff writer for Good News Magazine, and the theme of the latest issue of Good News is Old Man versus New Man. You can receive a complimentary issue of Good News Magazine. Just give them a call toll-free, 1-800-778-1132, 800-778-1132. Pastor Rotman, thank you very much for being our guest.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Folks, if you appreciate in-depth theological discussions like this one, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Now, we need a little bit more than $52,000 to make budget for this year. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. Send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, no gift is too small. The address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for remembering us at the end of 2010. Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we're going to discuss pietism, subjective, individualistic, and experiential Christianity with a guest that we haven't had on in a long time, Dr. Ron Feuerhahn of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. I know many of our listeners are anxiously awaiting his return to Issues, Etc. Thursday on the program, we'll study the hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Pastor Will Whedon of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, will be our guest. Then Friday on this Thanksgiving week, Dr. Arthur Just will join us from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, to study the Advent hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. It is a lifelong struggle. You say, it shouldn't be this way. Well, you're right. I mean, the old Adam should be dead and gone, but he isn't. But Christ has destroyed all that gives him his power. He has destroyed the powers of sin, death, and hell. And the old Adam is defeated. He just takes a long time to get the message. He has been put to death. It's just very difficult to keep him underground. But on the last day, Christ will raise us from the dead and change our bodies incorruptible. And at last, on that last day, the struggle against that old Adam will once and for all be over with. But the victory is ours now. You say, how do I have that victory? Even in the midst of the struggle? Well, come as a sinner before Christ, confess your sins, receive his forgiveness, continue to be fed by his word and his sacraments. That's what the Christian life, the Christian struggle, looks like. It's a good thing. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.